you know, as somebody who did a lot of grassroots organizing and, you know, political science related stuff, you know, it really gives an opportunity. And you'd speak to 40 or 50 people at an event like this about mental health, about clean energy, about our town fleet, about the solar farm and how it mm-hmm. supplies almost all of our electricity in town.
Right.
You know, and about, you know, special education in the case of the superintendent, a few other issues.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin, Mass area dial on the FM band at 102.9. Here again for another session with our town administrator, Jamie Helen. Jamie, happy Friday.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a busy week, and we're going to get into some of that business on your side as part of this, but I'm always appreciative that you take
the
time to
talk. Bags under my eyes. Superintendent has them too.
We may be recording, but they're not seeing that visually. They can just imagine what it looks like.
It's an exciting time, but as you know, a busy one, and requires the superintendent and myself to be out quite a bit at night.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm looking forward to this weekend and hopefully be able to sleep in one day. Yep,
indeed. And for those who are listening, this is our regular Talk Franklin session. So we're just going to dive right in because as we were talking, you did have some busy nights this week. And I know Sarah did as well, because I talked with her Tuesday, saw her at the school committee meeting mm-hmm. Tuesday night. But then you and she did a tag team effort with some members of the community at the Newcomers Club on Wednesday, I believe.
Let's just give the quick shout out to Rebecca Miller, who organizes the Franklin Newcomers. She's a great organizer and does a great job with them. I think this started maybe 7 years ago.
Something like that. Yeah.
Maybe when I think the first year I started, they did this. I was maybe there for 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. Jeff Nutting had come to me and said, you know, what do you think about this? Does this ring true? And I said, you know what? I mean, why don't we go up there? So Jeff and I went up the first year. Jeff was really excited because it's good outreach, but he was also excited because it's free food.
Mm.
And the newcomers put out a great spread.
They do.
Plug.
All
I know
the time.
You've been there, Steve. They've got flatbreads and apps and snacks and mm-hmm. soft drinks and a whole variety of things for folks to munch on. And, you know, it really did get a decent crowd at first. And then after Jeff left, I went 1 year, I think maybe by myself. And then I said this, the superintendent at one point, I said, why don't you come up there? This is a great audience.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of fun. It's a great opportunity to tell your story.
And, right.
So she reminded me the other night, this was her second year doing it, meaning 2 years obviously canceled during the pandemic.
Correct.
And, or maybe it was only 1 year, but anyways.
No, both, I believe. 2 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the last time I was there was actually, and it was a night we had talked about before, because you were with Brutus and Company in the studio recording the stormwater piece that Wednesday, March 11th.
Yeah.
I left that session early because the newcomers were starting at 7:30 and I was up there to do my talk and share. And then all of a sudden COVID hit and everything shut down. So
it was, that's right. So it was 2 years ago. And it was a great crowd this week. I would say probably like a good 40 plus people.
Excellent.
I don't think there was a table seat vacant. It went really well. I think everybody, we were there for about an hour and a half. It seemed to be a lot of, I told them, the folks there, really, they need to ask the questions they ask us at the newcomers.
Yeah.
They need to ask those questions at public meetings.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are extremely good questions that they ask. I'm not sure what it is, but it's a very friendly event. Everybody really works well together and they all talk well together. And it's really a lot of fun. I think it gives us an opportunity to maybe dig a little deeper into a couple of the issues in town or in the schools. For example, this year, one gentleman asked us about mental health and what we're doing with that issue. Mm-hmm. Another person there was asking about green energy and all that stuff. So it was really well done.
Yeah. And I think that forum, as well as when I do my monthly Franklin Matters Q&A with the Senior Center, and look for other opportunities similar to that. I think because of the stage, if you will, and we were talking about this, it's been part of our ongoing conversation relatively in communications and engagement and that civil conversation. It depends upon how you set the stage. And clearly in a public meeting, so doing business as town council, school committee, FinCom, whatever, there's a particular format and there's only certain leeways that you've got within that. Whereas in these other forums, now the stage is set. We're here. We're Franklin. We're neighbors amongst each other. Let's have a conversation. And it works.
It really does work. And it really doesn't work better than at the newcomers. It's a great format. It's very simple. You know, as somebody who did a lot of grassroots organizing and, you know, political science related stuff, you know, it really gives an opportunity. And you speak to 40 or 50 people at an event like this about mental health, about clean energy, about our town fleet, about the solar farm and how it supplies almost all of our electricity in town.
Right.
You know, and about, you know, special education in the case of the superintendent, a few other issues.
Sure.
You know, I think that is 40 or 50 people. And then they're talking to their significant others or friends.
Yep.
And it just kind of breeds out. And I think it really does then mean that there's no interference between the professionals and the community members to understand what the facts are about what's going on.
Right. And in that,
what's not bad than doing that over some free flatbreads.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's where we get like we do here, so that when people listen to us, and we appreciate that listening. And if you do like it, absolutely tell your friends and neighbors so that they can join and listen to this as well.
Totally.
It becomes that critical conversation. We do more than the sound bites. And we can segue into, because there was another discussion Thursday night, and unfortunately I missed it due to my calendar schedule, but social media is good, but it has some bad points as well. And the discussion Thursday night was around social media's kind of bad impacts on our youth in particular, but we're all affected by it.
If we didn't have iPhones and social media, you know, I doubt there might have been justice for George Floyd, his family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very extreme example. You know, I think it's just simply like everything else that's an invention that has unforeseen consequences.
Absolutely.
And we work on to try to mitigate those, and the mitigation of those influences. Of those unforeseen circumstances, always butts head with capitalism.
Yeah.
And this is a time-honored tradition and formula that goes on from everything from the automobile to the VCR to DVDs to 8-tracks to streaming, you know, to nuclear. You name it, right?
Climate.
I mean, there's climate. I mean, I'm sure that Henry T. Ford wasn't sitting around thinking, geez, you know, is this thing going to destroy the atmosphere?
No.
It was about convenience, advancement, economics, jobs, intellectual property, innovation. It's really about the constitution of freedom, and a whole variety of other things.
Yeah.
And I think social media is just in that same invention boat. I think we're already seeing the turning against Facebook to some degree. You being included, Steve.
Absolutely.
And I'm the proud card-carrying holder of literally never signing my Gmail account up at Facebook. I wish I could say I had this foresight, but it was not. It just I didn't really want to do it.
Yeah.
But the forum was really great. Jeff Roy and Georgia Wells did a wonderful job. I think shedding some of her research. I just think that Ms. Wells came off is such a practical, realistic, authentic experience of social media. And Jeff did a great job splitting the forum. I would be remiss in our tight timeline if I didn't give a quick shout out to Lucas and Lily, who really organized the whole thing.
Right.
The superintendent and I actually really had nothing to do with it. We really allowed them and the Substance Abuse Task Force to take control of that. The Lieutenant Governor was there. The Substance Abuse Task Force was there.
Multiple
committee members, counselors, a variety students. Of other stakeholders. There were some students on the panel, which was actually probably one of the most intriguing things to me.
Yeah.
Just to hear her talk about her popularity on Instagram at her age. You know, I think it's just like everything else we go through. Mm-hmm. We're just in that tug of war a bit on where all this is. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you know, I mean, while Supreme Court hearings have always been political statements to some degree, it's been a time-honored tradition. I think you see how even those with all of the recent Supreme Court justices come down to the power of social media and the internet, where really a lot of this is a lot of grandstanding towards political bases. Whether you're on one side of the aisle or the other, really, it just works both ways, at least of recent. And I think that's a tool that individuals are using for promotions. And I understand it. I mean, that's the way the system works.
Yeah. And that's where the realization is, to your point. It is a tool. Be aware of what you're seeing and then thereby how to use it. And if you don't have that awareness, then we don't have any.
Well, what was fascinating too about Georgia Wells was she basically admitted in kind of a joking way that she's a social media addict. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously she's getting paid from a reputable journalistic institution to cover this, and she's clearly going to be an expert on these issues for many, many years to come. And she's from Massachusetts too, but you know, she was admitting she's in that debate of the part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. And, power to her to do that, because it takes guts to admit that you're addicted to something, because that stigma is still there.
Yeah, but I know it was very fun. It was a really great forum, and Lily and Lucas did a great job. And, folks should go back and look at that audio and that video.
Yeah. Once it's available, I'll be sharing both the links. We'll prepare an audio piece. The video will be available. We'll be sharing those links as they're ready. And I know time-wise, we need to switch a little bit. And one of your addictions, my addictions to a certain extent, is covering the budget season, because it's so important to what happens in the town. And there's a bunch going on in the budget world at this point.
At least I get paid to be addicted to it. I get compensated to be addicted to it. But as people know me, I'm in here for months with my spreadsheets set up on all sorts of models. So we had a great joint budget subcommittee meeting. I got a lot of positive feedback from the members.
Oh, good. I was pleased with the way it went. Yes.
Yeah, it was very educational. Thank you for your assist, Steve, and helping them crunch the math. But it was very educational, informative. And I think at a bare minimum, if anybody out there listening wants to understand the 45-minute tutorial on the $138 million budget of the town of Franklin, that's it. See the assumptions on the revenues, and you see the assumptions on the expenditures, and you realize, and most people come away. And I think that the members of those committees, particularly the new ones, I think also got there and said, wow, I kind of understand. I understand where he's coming from, meaning the town administrator as well as the superintendent.
Yeah.
You know, they're informing us of what the challenges are coming up and what some of the cost drivers are.
Yeah.
And it's really not at that level. I even surprised myself a little bit. Even at that level, I thought that in less than an hour, the superintendent and I could go through that. In a day and an age where people don't have a lot of time to research or read this thing, there's a great example of each year. There's one meeting to tune into on the budget. This would be the one.
Right. Yeah. And that's where, and it certainly is not about me. I think people are aware of that by now. If they're not, well, you can listen and find out. But I wanted to help as I was following along with the numbers. Did I capture the numbers and on my napkin the right way? So providing that summary at the end. So we've got a problem. And now at least we have the stage for the right discussions on the real numbers. And some of the numbers still need to get filled out. But everybody should be aware at this point as to what they are and where they're going to come from, et cetera. And we still have an issue that requires discussion to fix. And that's fine. But at least I wanted to make sure we all agreed before I went off kind of half-cocked and said, well, this is what I think the number is going to be. And I didn't have the opportunity to check it. No, I have to validate that number. And thank you for validating.
You're pretty close. You're pretty close. I think in round ballpark numbers. You're pretty close.
In the ballpark.
One thing I will give a bit of good news too, real quick before we move on. You know, we're going to talk more about, give a plug for finance committee meeting, speaking of the budget, but as we get out here and we move on, I was just in New York City last weekend and they just repealed all the regs and they're struggling still. It's tough. Mm-hmm. When you look around, there's a lot of garbage and the streets are pretty bare and some other things, but ultimately I think you see spring coming and you see a full slate of concerts at Gillette, full slate of concerts at Great Woods. Mm-hmm. You see the hockey tournaments are being booked again up in Marlboro. Dean College is taking its regs away to next session for the summer. And I think what that hopefully will do, and you'll see this in the budget, just as a teaser, Steve.
Sure.
To your point, is that, you know, revenues as we get to the end of March and going into April of this year and over the summer, hopefully will be very stable, if not outperform. We're still going to use our various moderate to conservative methodology revenues, but still, I think from a local receipt standpoint, you know, I think that's based on purchasing. Really, it's really about local receipts is a revenue source that's much more about consumer behavior more than anything else.
Yeah,
and what we see is that things are moving in the right direction for the budget. So I'm hopeful to have a productive budget year. I think it will be, which is really also a quick plug, May 9th through the 12th. If you're not looking for the Cliff Notes versions, if you go to the Joint Budget Subcommittee here in the future, you're going to get a high level, but you come away with a good knowledge of the budget. If you really want to get into the line item stuff,
into the minutiae.
If you really, really want to learn about exactly how much water is used at the high school fields or how much gas is used at Horace Mann
and the cost drivers,
what the cost of various legal ads costs or all sent, postage and all these other things. I know I'm using those examples for a reason because that's the minutiae.
Yeah, that's the minutiae. And those are some of the drivers so that, what affects the budget? Well, it's over 80% is salaries and benefits.
Just a little under. Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Right.
Salaries and benefits.
But then in the DPW, in the facilities, it's the gas, obviously. Everybody's catching that today, but it's also all these other things. And that's where you get to find out, what is it in the Board of Health? What is it in the tax assessor's office? What is it? Those are where the town clerk. Mailings, public notices.
And also, too, that's when people get an idea and they say, geez, really, there's not a lot of fat. I understand. Look at this as license subscription for this software and the financial modules. And what about the online permitting system?
Right.
And what does it cost to pay election workers? And, what is it that we're required to pay for a half-time public health nurse? Oh, that's the law. We have to have one. Oh, okay. Oh, we have to have an animal control officer. Here's the regional agreement we have with Bellingham.
Right.
And when you keep, and I just say this quickly, but when you really dig into all those, I think sometimes why people don't attend finance committee meetings is because if they watch them or listen to them or at home, and I think the finance committee members say this themselves, there's not really a lot of extra fat to chew. It's mainly personnel and benefits. And we also, they see things like, wow, the streetlights cost has gone down by 3/4 over the last 2 years. Why is that? Oh, they're all LED, paid off the solar farm. Wow.
Sure.
And they think, I think that helps people support our budgets a lot.
Yeah.
And I know so for the folks at home, my budget will come out on April 20th. And then the school committee is voting on its final budget on April 12th. And then my budget will come out on April 20th. There'll be a legal notification out there. The finance committee meetings will be on May 9th to the 12th. And then the town council hearings will be on May 25th and 26th, just before Memorial Day. Everybody can go to www.franklinma.gov, town calendar, and all of the postings are right there for the details, the agendas. And we'll certainly be sending out. I know you'll amplify it too.
We'll spread that word.
We'll be putting out all the budget documents on April 20th.
Yeah. And then before that, we certainly want to put in the plug to remind folks that if they have not yet, please fill in the survey for the Franklin for All. We need that feedback.
We do. I made a quick plug at it the other night. Some have commented to me, Steve, that it's a little boring. And I emphasized to the newcomers the other night when a couple people told me it was a little tough to read and it was boring. I said, could you imagine being a town planner and writing zoning? Mm-hmm. It is extraordinarily dry.
Right.
It is filled with a lot of legal verbiage. But at the end of the day, the survey helps drive the experts to do the right zoning to eventually get the outcomes that people want in downtown, which most people tell me, Steve, they want more food.
Food is a big draw. And oh, by the way, that's one of the things that we can plug, because as we've talked here before, any of the restaurants can also get an alcohol license, which should help their profitability and help the good times within reason. Of course, don't overdo it. But
quick plug, there'll be a new one of those on the town council agenda on April 6th.
Yep.
And so to that point, we are a very business friendly community.
Yes.
We'll see that on April 6th.
Yes.
Also, I should note the legislative delegation will also be there on April 6th. And for folks that want to see about the state affairs, they should also check into that meeting.
Yeah, and I think that'll be good because your meeting is the 6th. And I believe the week after the legislative forum just got settled, I believe on the 14th. So they'll have
April
another
14th.
Chance.
Yep.
They'll have another chance from a more school and education perspective to talk with our legislative folks, as well as school committee and other community members as well at that time. So indeed, there is a lot going on. Pay attention to Franklin. ma.gov. That's where the source is. That is my source of a lot of good stuff. Of course, talking to Jamie and Sarah and others in the town, I appreciate that as well, because this we have to go to the right people to get the news to spread. Thank you for taking time today, Jamie. I hope the listeners have appreciated your time and effort, and have a great weekend. And we'll do this Talk Franklin again in another couple of weeks.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate it.
And just a quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.